T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday, brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. Drink up. Hour number two. That means we've got three to go. 20 minutes away from Paul Byrd, who joins us from Fox Sports South, who, I've said it before, say it again, they do an incredible job in this weird year when they're on the road, and you've got Paul Byrd and Kelly Krull at Truist Park, just trying to bring some life and some color to the broadcast. They've done such a good job being creative. My only worry, Paul just needs to be careful, man. I thought he was about to fall in the fountain the other night.
Oh, dude, I was like, oh, was that – because if he would have fell, I would have like, did he do that on purpose?
Yeah.
You know, there's some things, you know, but, yeah, I can't wait to talk to Paul. You know, he's always fun. He loves our show, and we love having him on and everything, so I can't wait to get a chance to talk to him. I see that you and some of your following is starting this some of this flim-flam – Bam Bam already about this Sports Jeopardy. I don't cheat. Brian doesn't cheat. You lose.
Excuse
Why
me?
Don't you accept that? Like, when you beat me, I don't complain or say anything. But it seems when I win, I cheat.
Yeah. Exactly right. You nailed it.
Hey, man, there are just endogenous variables that are unable to be changed when it comes to me beating
Word of the day.
Yeah, man. Endogenous.
Nice work. What was it?
I've been sitting here trying to figure out what the hell endogenous.
Okay.
It means having an internal cause or origin confined within a group or society. And so they always give an example of a question. I cannot figure out anything. So I just use the question that they had.
Okay.
So there it is.
Endogenous. Well, but yeah, you nailed it, though. That's why. Because when I win, I do it with honor and with grace. And when you win, you cheat. Because for whatever – and I don't know why Wendy would cheat for you, because, you know, I understand Brian. He's in your pocket because you're a great Georgia Bulldog and he idolizes you and all that stuff.
Right.
Wendy,
right.
I mean, you're a rival. I don't understand what Wendy
So it's us three against you.
Yeah, yes.
And now Kenny's here. Kenny's in for Brian.
Yeah.
And you threw him under the bus.
So it's
all four of us against you.
Yes, 100%. Unless I win, in which case it's on the up and up.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Just checking.
I mean,
just checking.
Yeah, it's fairly simple. We will play.
Because everybody always says Randy bullies. I don't bully Andy. I just beat Andy.
No. There's no bullying going on. All right. Let's get that clear.
What?
There's no bullying going on.
I know that, but everybody always wants to claim. I don't do nothing. Okay, I might say my name a lot. I say up my damn chest. Hell. But it's okay, dog, because the thing with it is, if you win today, all right, you are talking about claiming my throne. What throne? Man, I've been putting foots in you for the whole month. The whole month. I've been been punching you in your chest.
The month started like 4 days ago. We haven't even played Sports Jeopardy this month.
You know what
it's
I mean,
new month,
dog.
Randy.
Don't be sitting over here trying to.
Is my birthday month? This is
I
my
know it's
month.
Your birthday month. Your birthday yeah, in a couple in a few
my,
weeks.
This is my month.
But dude,
I'm ready for today.
You and all your following and cronies talking about it. You can
These
beat.
Are not my cronies. Cheat. These are just people that listen to our radio show that know the truth, Randy. These
How
are
am
truth
I cheat?
Speakers
How do
just
I
like
cheat?
Me.
That's what I'm saying. How do I cheat when I get the answer right?
I don't know. I don't think you are the one who, and again, I think you've greased the wheels a little bit.
How the hell is that possible?
Brian and Wendy are the ones that are perpetrating the fraud. They're the
no,
ones that hear me
all
say
it
my name first and say it's you.
The one thing about it is everything is a delay, all right? I get ahead of the delay.
Well, how do you do that? They got
because
your connection ramped up better?
Because
you
I'm good.
Got faster internet than me? It's totally unfair.
If I got faster internet than you, that ain't my fault.
Yeah, it is. And because the company pays you more or something, or you have, I don't know, whatever it is. It's totally ridiculous. It's a company down intercom conspiracy, unless I win, in which case it's totally on the up and up. And we will play Sports Jeopardy at 12:40 today. The Wendy Zone at 11:40. Fine. Get your questions in, by the way. Send your Sports Jeopardy questions to Wendy at Wendy Radio on Instagram or Twitter. Direct message. Don't be a creep. Send the answer as well. Let's get to an NFL no huddle.
We're going no huddle
with the Midday Show. No huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Go now, let's go. Set.
All right. So yesterday was the final scrimmage for the Atlanta Falcons. Essentially, the final preseason game for the Atlanta Falcons. The NFL No Huddle brought to you by RS Andrews. Keep cool. Get an RS Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile. And our Falcons insider Jarvis Davis is going to join us at 12:20 to talk about what he saw in there. Jake Matthews spoke after practice yesterday, and he talked about something we've been spending a lot of time talking about as well: the offensive line and Matt Hennessy.
What I've noticed is he's grown so much. Now he's making calls and he's more confident, and that's been really impressive to see. And he's got a ton of talent. That's obvious. So just to continue to get more reps with him and, you know, build his confidence in the offense and what he's doing, I think he's going to be a really good player. So he's been, you know, very impressive to watch grow and improve.
Let's hope so, because the reps that he's gotten thus far are the reps that he's going to get before the season starts. I know they got practice next week and all that, but the scrimmage is where he was going to get his best workouts, and those are over now. Now, you made a great point a couple weeks ago, Randy, about how if you're going to be a rookie starting in the NFL, might as well be starting between Jake Matthews and Alex Mack. And maybe that helps you out a little bit in terms of your acclimation process. But I fully expect to find out at some point over the next week that Matt Hennessy is the starting left guard when the Falcons take on the Seahawks in Week 1.
I'm with you. I expect him to be right there in the starting lineup against Seattle. And all he can continue to do is just keep getting better, keep getting those mental reps in. I don't think he practiced yesterday. So the thing with him is that, you know, he already has a leg up because he's so damn smart. He's a smart young man, physical young man. It's going to be a difference once you're going against different guys. Now, there's nothing like practicing against a guy like Grady Jarrett and all those things. So that will help you out with that. But yeah, playing next to Alex Mack between Alex Mack and Jake Matthews is going to help him a lot. But yeah, I expect him to be the starting left guard for the Atlanta Falcons the Sunday after next year.
They're going to be blocking for Todd Gurley, and Keith Smith also going to be blocking for Todd Gurley, the fullback of the Falcons. Talked about how he's been impressed by Todd throughout the training camp.
I'm excited what he's bringing to the table. He works hard. He's upbeat. A great teammate, always trying to bring as many people with him as possible, and that's kind of what you need to win.
Man, I think this is probably true of every team in the NFL going into a season. There's certain things you can hang your hat on and feel comfortable with, and with the Falcons, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley to a certain extent, and then there's a lot of unknowns as well and question marks. And I think as far as the Falcons' question marks go, the one that I'm most excited to find out the answer to is Todd Gurley, like what he has, what he is, what he's going to be for this team. Because, you know, as much as we all want it to be explosive 2-3 years ago Todd Gurley, we don't know. It might be, but I can't wait to find out.
I'm with you, man. I'm anxious to see how Todd does fit with this. I mean, he brings everything that you need to the table as a true three-down running back. And, you know, you hear good things coming out of there. Dan's talking about how fast he is, how he eliminates angle. That was one of the best things Todd does as such a big running back, is how fast he could move. But, I mean, he brings different things to it. I mean, I don't know what to expect from him. I can be a homer and say I expect him to beat old Todd Gurley, but I don't think I will. But, you know, as long as he can stay healthy and they can keep resting him and he can find a way to, you know, to manage whatever is going on with his body, then I think he'll be fine. But, I mean, as good as we want Todd Gurley to be, well, I'll go back to what we just talked about. That offensive line, if they're not better, it really won't matter if he's getting met in the backfield.
Yeah, I mean, that's the bottom line. Again, I mean, it's not like the hottest take or the most interesting thing to say about a team going into a season, but it's true. Falcons front five has to be significantly better than they were last year, not just in pass protection, but in the run game as well. And, you know, if Matt Ryan isn't on his back 10 times a game, Matt Ryan's a really damn good quarterback. He was a damn good quarterback even when he got hit 150 times last year. Same thing with Todd Gurley. And this is going to be so vital for him to have holes to run through and be able to get into the open field, make and use that speed. Now, Interesting week for running backs, given that Leonard Fournette was released, picked up by the Bucs. Still don't know what's going on with Alvin Kamara. Haven't heard an update on that one, as the Saints apparently are pursuing Jadeveon Clowney with what money, I don't know. And then Adrian Peterson gets released over the last 24 hours. You think Adrian Peterson ends up someplace, or is this for AP?
That's one thing I don't know. The one thing about it is I doubt he'll be signed before week one, so his contract won't be guaranteed. Yeah. But, I mean, from everything, I thought he was going to be the starting running back up there. But I guess they like these two young runners that they have. I think Bryce – what's his name?
Yeah, they got Bryce Love from Stanford.
Bryce Love. And so I guess, I mean, that's the direction that they want to go. So, you know, the one thing that AP did was that he'll forever change the rehab on an ACL, and everybody thinks that they're supposed to come back like Adrian Peterson from ACL. But, I mean, great career. I'm not going to say it's the end for him, because, you know, all it takes is one team, an injury or whatever. And a lot of times after week one, you'll have a better assessment of a lot of the things that you want to do. And so maybe he will probably be on another team.
Yeah, he'll get another shot. I agree with you. After week one, someone will sign him because people want to know. And there's also a lot of teams that don't have great running back situations. Like Adrian Peterson was a productive runner last year.
Yeah.
If you have a spot, you're going to bring him in and at least find out, okay, he doesn't have it anymore, and you move on. That said, if it is the end for Adrian Peterson, or whenever it is the end for Adrian Peterson, first ballot Hall of Famer.
Oh, no doubt.
One of the great running backs we've ever got a chance to see. Randy. He came back from an ACL in, what, like 6 months, and then ran for 2,000 yards the next season?
Yeah.
Messed it up
for everybody. One thing you don't do, don't shake his hand, man. Because I'm talking about, you talking about a vice grip handshake? Bruh. Yeah, man. But yeah, AP, he's been a great player, man. I mean, I got a chance. It was crazy. I got a chance as rookie. We played there. Got to see his first carry. Andy, he ran down for a seven-yard run. But he took, like 13 people with him. He had our defense on him. He had his O-line. It was only for 7 yards, but he drug them all for like four. We were like,
whoof. Who's this guy? Yeah.
Who's this guy?
You knew who he was because he was a big star in college too. But yeah, so what do? You just try to dap him up, try to extend the fist.
What's up, man? Yo, oh yeah, he is definitely a power guy.
See, but sometimes, and we found this out in COVID, at least I have. There's hard handshake guy. There's also soft handshake guy, which nobody
knows. I don't deal with soft handshake men.
But you there's also soft dap guy, though. Like, have you noticed that in COVID? There's people that don't know. Like, they're afraid they're going to bruise their knuckles.
When it ain't COVID, you got soft handshake guy, though. You know how they show whenever the queen comes, how you hold her hand, how she cups her hand, and you squeeze like that. Like, I don't need guys coming to me. But soft handshake guy, like, man.
That's all I need to know.
What the hell's wrong with you?
It's hard to come back from that. If we meet, you said earlier in the week, Randy, with Tommy Malone. First impressions can be everything.
If
we're meeting and we shake hands and you give me the little limp fish, I mean, dude, I don't know if there's any coming back. But here's the other thing we learned in COVID, though. What? Hard dap guy. Nobody likes hard dap guy either. Punch you in the fist. It's like, come on,
hey,
man.
Hey, man. Hard dap guy. Willie does promotions for V. Man, when he would come in, you got to loosen that thing up. Because I'm like, why your dap so damn hard?
I have to mentally prepare to dap him up. My palm's going to sting for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
The other thing is, and I love it, but he brings you in for that big bear hug and slaps you on the back of the shoulder as hard as he can.
Yeah, like, man.
Knock the wind out of you.
You got them damn carburetor spark plug hands. You know, them cats that can screw the spark plug out with their own hand. Yeah, that's what kind of dap he got, man. So, yeah.
You got to be careful dapping people up these days.
Yeah.
You never know. What else were we going to say? Oh, yeah, Josh Gordon got signed. The Seahawks are going to sign Josh Gordon. Not surprisingly, saw that one coming. Don't know if Antonio Brown is going to get signed. Wouldn't be surprised if the Seahawks sign him, too. And here was something that didn't surprise you or I at all, but if you're a Boston sports radio host, you got a lot of apologizing to do today. Not only is Cam Newton going to be the starter for the New England Patriots, obviously. He beat out Brian Hoyer. He's going to be the team captain. So everybody that talked about it being a gimmick or a shot in the dark or whatever, they signed Cam Newton with the intention of him being the starter on that football team, and what a shock he's going to be.
Yeah, there's no shock to that. And kudos for him being the captain. I mean, obviously, they fell in love with him. And Cam, if you ever rock him, Cam has an infectious personality. And you know, one thing about him, he ain't fake. You know, he always is going to be who he is no matter what. I think a lot of people thought that the dancing and all that stuff was going to be corralled by Bill Belichick. And Bill just let him be himself. And his teammates fell in love with him. They just got a problem scoring. They ain't nobody. Who the hell are they going to throw the ball to?
N'Keal Harry.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. Yeah. Okay. That's who they got. They cut Mohamed Sanu. I mean.
I know.
Who are their tight ends?
They got some holes, man. But, I mean, I'm happy for Cam. There was never any. I don't know if anybody ever had any doubt that he would be the starting quarterback.
Some people did, but.
Really? I think that's probably just haters.
It was haters, yeah. Haters did.
But I love it.
We'll come back. Wendy's on in about half an hour. Paul Byrd coming up next, though, from Fox Sports South. Braves have a doubleheader today. Good day to talk to Paul. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Whoa!
This was a big part of the show yesterday in the 12 o'clock hour. Nicely done, Ken. Filling in for Brian Gebhardt today. Wendy Adams with us as always, and she'll be with us for the Wendy Zone 20 minutes from right now. Get your Sports Jeopardy questions in. We'll play Sports Jeopardy at 12:40 as it is a happy hour Friday. Brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey, but it always gets happier on the Andy and Randy Show when we can welcome in Paul Byrd from Fox.
A man's
South.
Man.
A man, another man's man. He's just dubbing people men's men over the last couple days, and you're the newest one to the list. Hey, Paul Byrd, how are you?
What up, Paul?
What's up, guys? Hey, how are you guys doing? Everybody ready for the weekend?
You're damn right.
Absolutely. And we got two baseball games today to watch with the Braves, which is phenomenal. The interesting thing about today is we got Tommy Malone making his second start and hopefully kind of making up for what he did the first time. And then you got Josh Tomlin with a bullpen start and kind of the situation that the Braves find themselves in because they didn't do anything at the deadline. Were you surprised when the deadline came and went last week and the Braves didn't make a move?
I was. I thought something would happen. You know, I didn't know if they were going to land Clevinger or not, but I thought something was going to happen. And, you know, at first I was disappointed. I do trust Alex Anthopoulos. When I listened to his, reasoning, it made sense to me. But that doesn't mean that, you know, I'm not allowed to be disappointed.
Sure.
I am, you know. But it did make sense. And, you know, you don't want to, you know, buy a house when it's at its peak and find out it'll fall apart, you know, next year. So it's one of those where it was just kind of a dangerous time to give up a big prospect. And, you know, I would have loved to have known more, like who were they asking for and what were we getting back? And you know, that's the stuff that I don't know about. So it's hard for me to give a thumbs up or thumbs down on whether or not I would have done something.
And, Paul, we're going to go back to what you were talking about as far as the big-time prospects. One of the big-time prospects in the Braves system, Ian Anderson, what has been your impression? I know it's early and everything, and we don't want to get over our skis and everything, but your impressions of him so far in his first two starts?
Well, I appreciate you calling me a man's man, first of all.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, man.
I mean, you're fighting snakes. You're fighting snakes. You're obviously a man.
Snakes.
I'm fighting the fight, man. I'm ready to go. That has been Ian Anderson. He's been fearless. You know, he came in and he wasn't overwhelmed. And yeah, I've always been a little nervous before I've started, just whatever. I think that's normal. But if you are so nervous that you can't make a pitch, that's different. And, you know, a coach told me, yeah, you got little butterflies. That just means you care. That's good. But you have to be able to compete and get on the mound and breathe and go after guys. And he did that. He pitched like a man. And his repertoire, what I mean is change up into righties. I don't see that unless guys are in their 30s. Pitched up in the zone. He pitched in. He pitched away. He threw his breaking ball for strikes. He smiled. He didn't seem to be overwhelmed. He was talking on the bench when Snit came and took him out. You know, he acted like he'd been there before. And let's face it, guys, we've seen a lot of really good arms, not just on the Braves, but throughout baseball. And these guys don't pitch. They come in, they're worried about spin rate. How hard am I throwing? Is it 96? Is it 97? What am I doing wrong? You know, this guy wasn't like that. He pitched, and it couldn't have come at a better time.
Well, obviously, you're the expert as far as this goes, but what I've liked about watching him is he seems to throw the pitches that he's most comfortable with. I mean, he came in the first inning of his first start, and he's throwing fastballs. I mean, he's not overthinking it. I mean, he's not trying to get cute with it. And, you know, not to criticize Rick Kranitz or anybody in the organization who obviously knows more than I do about pitching, but you see some of these guys come up, whether it's Tuki Toussaint or Kyle Wright or whoever, and they'll have success with their go-to pitch. And then they'll ignore it. They'll go away from it. They'll try to get cute or overthink it or something like that. Like, how do you convince these young guys when, because these guys are coming back up. Like, Kyle Wright's going to get more starts. Folty's coming back. Newcomb's coming back. How do you convince these guys just to stick with whatever is working?
Yeah, I think you have to have a game plan, and you have to be able to adjust. So if you have a great fastball up, and I'm just going to take Nuke for example. I like Nuke, and this isn't a, you know, pick on Nuke day. But if you have a fastball up, and all of a sudden they say, hey, this guy's just got a fastball up, all of a sudden they're going to have a game plan against you. And so they're going to adjust, and they're going to say, okay, I'm just looking for the ball up. And so when somebody makes a mistake there, then they're going to get hammered. So you have to be able to say, oh, all the hitters are looking up. I'm going to throw the ball down. I'm going to throw the ball in. I'm going to throw the ball out. I'm going to throw a change. I'm going to throw a slider. Max Fried, as great as he is this year, he has a new pitch. It's a slider. And when people look for a certain pitch, like a fastball, he throws a slider that looks like a fastball that isn't. And then he throws a curve. And then he throws a change. And then he throws up. Then he throws down. Then he throws in. Then he throws out. That guy's really hard to face and come up with a game plan and feel comfortable. So I would love to see our young guys come up with a variety of more pitches and not worry so much about the radar gun and just pitch. Just apply, you know, different areas of the strike zone and get after it. And because their arms are so good. You know, when I pitched, we rarely saw a 95. You know, that was a big deal. Now that's kind of like standard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Paul, it's not dump on Nuke Day, but like you said, but with him and Folty, you know, they're, I don't want to say out of sight, out of mind. Do you see them as having another opportunity to come back and prove themselves as the season goes on?
I do. I'm talking about Folty too, and he's got a couple years up here. And, you know, I like Folty too. I like all of our guys. But I do think they'll have another chance. I think it's 2020. Weird stuff's been happening. And, you know, I think that he, especially with gaining weight, he's been up here. He's done it before. Last year he carried the team for 2 months. So, you know, Tuki and others, when those guys get their shot, I would like to see something different. I would like them to see, you know, be ready and show me a different game plan. And hopefully that'll happen soon.
Paul Byrd joining us from Fox Sports South as the Braves get set to play a doubleheader this afternoon. I know you mentioned Max Fried. We've all talked at great length about how fantastic he's been this year. Tell me if this is too far to go. Obviously, he's in the Cy Young discussion. He's leading the Cy Young discussion in the National League. But given everything the Braves are dealing with, I mean, he doesn't really have they don't have a number two starter. Maybe Ian Anderson becomes that as the season goes on. Is it crazy to put Max Fried's name in the MVP conversation in the National League?
I don't think so. Where would this team be without Max Fried?
Yeah. In trouble.
That's something I always factor in, the most valuable player. Who has been the most valuable player? Without Max Fried, this team is not in first place, in my opinion. I think they would have really struggled. And he has been the stopper, the constant. He's been everything on that staff. And I'm with you. I hope Ian Anderson can continue to pitch like he does. I don't get too excited after two starts. But the Nats proved all you need is two starters in the playoffs. So we'll see what happens. And Cole Hamels can come back. Folty can come back. Folty doesn't have to be a number one, but he can come back and help. And all you got to do this year is get that ball to the bullpen. They're really good. And this lineup is scary. This lineup scores a lot of runs with Acuna and Albies hurt.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
You know, good night. Ozuna, I wouldn't want to pitch to because I can't read him at all. He falls down and hit a home run and then spins and twirls and points his neon sleeve up and all this. It's a blast to watch, but I don't even know what he's looking for, what he's reading. He's smiling. He's happy. He's yelling himself in the box like, you know, a guy getting ready to knock your block off in football. And he is just a blast to watch, and I'd hate facing him. He's been a big addition.
Paul, we were talking before you came on. Now, we all love the pregame and everything that you and Kelly do. And the other day, yeah, you was by that fountain, Paul. Were you about to fall? Because we, man, I was thinking to myself, he probably was just joking around. It probably was staged. But you were about to fall in that water, Paul.
Well, everybody wanted me to fall. And I said, there's no way I'm falling in. And they're like, I think they were baiting me. But what happened is I came out of the woods like Sasquatch and threw the ball in the fountain to measure Riley's home run ball. But what I didn't know, there was about 15 baseballs back there nobody grabbed. So I was like a little kid, man. I'm picking up these baseballs. I'm coming out of the bushes, and I didn't know the camera was on me. They didn't tell me any of this. And so next thing you know, I find myself on Twitter and on in between like commercials or whatever, coming out of the woods like a little kid with all these home run balls. So it was kind of funny. And it's 2020. We're trying different stuff. Kelly and I have had a lot of fun just coming up with new stuff, getting on the field. And, you know, Ed Magnan got a little mad at me the other day. He called me right after one of our hits because Kelly was on home plate on the tarp with some high heels. So I found out that tarp was brand new, and that's a no-no. So we got to change it up a little bit. You know, here I'm giving a demonstration on what it's like to play third base, why it's the hot corner, why it's difficult. And Frenchie's not even paying attention to any of that. He just wants to know if I can pick up the ball and chuck it to first without warming up.
You did.
So I did, and my shoulder's still attached, but, you know. I was worried because I'm out there in these, you know, dress/tennis shoes that are super comfortable, no spikes. So I just didn't want to go down because, you know, that would be trending nationally if I'd made a throw and then, you know, bit it. So, so it's been a lot of fun, and we're just trying to, you know, do a little something different and teach people about the game and have fun doing it. And it's been a weird year, but I'm glad baseball's back. And, you know, I hope everybody can smile and enjoy the Braves.
Well, I got to be honest with you, Paul. You know how we feel about you. We love having you on the show. It's always great.
A man's man.
I kind of wanted you to fall in the fountain. Like, I was kind of rooting for you to fall in the fountain. Yeah. Sorry.
I think everybody was.
Yeah.
I think everybody was. They were hoping for a little slip on the rock, but, you know.
Yeah. You're an athlete, Paul. Athlete.
Yeah, you're a world-class athlete.
I'm not going to slip. Yeah, I'm a man's man.
Damn right, Paul.
You know. That's right. My athletic ability going over those rocks, I was like a cougar. I was just, you know, in and out of the bushes over the rocks, and, yeah, made it happen.
Yeah, man. We can't wait to see what you guys come up with for tonight. Thanks for the time. Doubleheader this afternoon. We appreciate it as always.
Always great, guys. Great show. We'll see you.
Paul Bird there, man's man, like a cougar on those rocks. Damn, he compared himself to a cougar and a Sasquatch in that interview. Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. We'll come back. We'll get to the Wendy Zone. Wendy Adams joins us. And Wendy says, there's always that one guy. There's always that one guy. Don't be that guy, but there's always that one guy. And she's going to tell you who it is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Be respectful of Wendy. She's a lady, all right?
She's a lady.
Behold, a lady.
My lady. All right, everybody stand up.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you're not hungry, you become average.
The Wendy Zone every single day on the midday show at 11:40 with Wendy Adams. It's a happy hour Friday brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. Drink up. You can also send us pictures of whatever it is that you're drinking. We'll shout you out on the radio. With that said, let's welcome in Wendy. What's up, Wendy?
Hey, Wendy.
How are y'all doing?
Good.
Great.
Good.
You know, Paul Bird always puts you in a good mood.
Paul Bird's awesome. He's great. I love Paul Bird.
You know Paul Bird knows how to change his own tire.
Absolutely. 100%.
Oh, definitely. I know how to change a tire.
I know you do, Wendy.
I don't doubt that at all.
Because you're tough.
Yeah, exactly.
I am tough.
I know Mr. Adams. I know Mr. Adams won't go send his baby away and not know how to change your own tire. I know
the
that.
The only problem with changing a tire by yourself is because the jack that they give you in the car is it sucks.
Yeah,
it's wrecked.
If you had a better jack, it would make it a whole lot easier. So sometimes I'm just like, I don't feel like changing my tire, but I mean, I can do it. I know how to do it. I just need to get a better jack in the car. That's all.
You're absolutely right, and I think everybody agrees on that. Why don't they just make a better jack for the car? Like every jack that comes with the car is, I mean, it's just teetering on knocking your car over every single time you use it.
Every time you're like, damn.
Like, God, I hope I don't cut my leg off on accident using this thing.
Exactly.
You're just like praying on the side of your car, please. Just
laughing. Balancing it up there. I just got to get this one last bolt tightened. Yeah, I'm with you.
And you're just saying, by the way, Andy, we don't cheat. It's not 3-1 on it. I just think your reflex time is not as fast as Randy sometimes.
That's really weird. That's exactly what someone who does cheat would say.
I'm not going to worry about it, Wendy. I'm not going to worry about it. What you got, Wendy?
By the way, you can send me your Sports Jeopardy questions by direct message, because if you send them during a regular tweet, people can see them, including Andy and Randy. So please direct message me at Wendy Radio on Twitter or on Instagram. Well, we see this happen usually when it's the Baseball Hall of Fame and nobody wants a player to be unanimous for whatever reason. And it happened on Thursday when the NBA announced the Rookie of the Year. It was number 2 overall pick in last year's NBA draft, Ja Morant of the Memphis Grizzlies. He was nearly unanimous, guys. He received 99 of 100 first place votes, with one vote going to Zion Williamson. And this is what Ja Morant had to say about that one guy.
I need to figure out who was that person, you know, who did pick me first. I want to shoot a direct message to them and, you know, thank them for, you know, motivating me even more to, you know, do more on the floor, be better, and, you know, do whatever I can to help my team win basketball games. So if anybody knows who that is, let me know.
Okay. Yes. First of all, that's BS. You ain't motivated because you missed out a vote. You're motivated because you want to be great, and you are great. But if you're great and then he's great next season, Andy, I'm sure it's come up. Yeah, I was motivated to have a great year because of that one vote. Bull. Okay. But at the same point, these damn dorks, and it's usually in baseball because Tom Seaver was, it's all people think that Tom Seaver is the greatest Met of all time. Greatest man of all time. He just passed away. A lot of people's hero that love the Mets. He got the highest percentage to that date when he was, and I think it was 92. It was at 98.2. Uh-huh. So who the hell were the other dorks that didn't think he deserved to get in? You know who those dorks are, Andy? They are the last to get picked guy. That's who they are. And they're still damn sister from when they were 9 to 11 years old getting picked last to play wiffle ball. Or dodgeball. Because you know why? You wasn't good. So now you take it out on all the deserving athletes, you damn dorks.
So wait, who are you mad at here? Are you, you're mad at the person that didn't vote for him and also at Ja Morant for...
No, I ain't mad. No, I'm not mad at... I'm not mad at Ja. I'm talking about these damn... These people who have these votes that do this on purpose. They know when... You know what I'm saying? And because they were last pick. All right? They were the one that was like, damn, I think I just played one man short. That's who they are, Andy. And they are the ones that are affecting this, and they need to get punched in the daggone gut. Because they're a bunch of damn dorks.
I agree with all that. The violence aspect of it, the dork aspect of it, all of it. The people that have decided that they're the gatekeepers of the halls of fame or the awards or things like that. And, like, the justification as well. Because, like, I don't know. The one that makes me most mad is Ken Griffey Jr. It's personal, whatever. But I think we all agree Ken Griffey Jr. should have been a unanimous selection into the Hall of Fame. I think what Mariano Rivera became the first person to be a unanimous selection, which is great. He should have been a unanimous selection, too. And maybe now other people can be that because he was. But when they give you the justifications of, well, Babe Ruth wasn't a... Well, he should have been, too. That's dumb.
He should have been one.
don't make that choice because someone else made a mistake. That's not a great reason. That's not great decision making. Remember when you were a kid and your parents asked you if you'd jump off a bridge because all your friends did it? That's exactly what you're saying you would do. Don't do that. Don't be an idiot. And then, you know, like, well, no one is deserving of being a first ballot Hall of Famer. It's the sanctity of the Hall of Fame. Says who? Says you? Why?
The last pick guy. Yeah. The last pick guy. The guy who used to get pushed in the locker. All right. That guy. Okay. That's who does it.
Huh? They're getting their revenge now. After all, yeah,
that's how they get their revenge. Yeah. He reminds me of Tommy the quarterback who stuffed me in the locker and made Jen not like me ever when I was going up to her at a party. Yeah, that guy.
It's Timmy Tube Socks. Timmy Tube Socks is the one that doesn't vote. Although Timmy Tube Socks doesn't have a Hall of Fame vote yet.
You know, he's petitioning the
Hall of Fame. He doesn't have one yet. Yeah, exactly. He just writes the column reacting to what the Hall of Fame voters write on.
Well, if I had a vote.
He doesn't have a vote.
Well, if I had a vote. Well, if I got a vote.
There you go.
Tell us how you really feel, Randy.
If I had a vote.
I did when I saw what John Morant said, though. I was like, God, I hope this finds its way onto the show tomorrow because Randy's going to have a reaction to John Morant saying that he's going to motivate himself by one person.
Going to motivate me to play. So when he in the gym working out, he going to have one vote short, like, written on his tape. Come on, man.
Well, I do think, like, we should the votes from the people because I think that would actually stop this from happening. If we didn't have, like, the anonymity, that's a really hard word to say on a Friday when you're ready for the weekend. But, like, if he didn't have that, I just think it would be unanimous.
Yeah, and it's also not the missile launch codes. It's the damn rookie of the year vote. Like, being an anonymous voter in that shouldn't matter. You absolutely should have to publicize who you voted for. And you know what? Like, if you have that honor, it's an honor. It's an honor to be able to make those votes. You should have to explain why. Like, the person that voted for Zion should have to explain why they voted for Zion. Why'd you do it?
I don't think you got to even tell me why. Just tell me who you are.
I think you should say your name, and you should justify it.
Because you, Andy, you like transparency. I like it like that. Okay, who didn't? Okay, cool. Now, because it, the transparency part will prevent a lot of times from somebody getting punched in the mouth, you know, because you need to know. But, you know, when you on this side over here and Randy's side, I don't need no transparency to punch you in the gut. You know?
So you're just going to punch everybody willy-nilly?
Punch him in the gut, then ask questions later. Oh, my bad, dog.
See, but here's and that's fine. That's one way to live. I've said this many times, and I'll say it again. I live my life in certain decisions that I make, trying to figure out whether or not I'm going to get punched in the face for what I do, because I believe in transparency. And if I think something might end up getting me punched in the face for it, then I might think twice about doing it. Because you know what I don't want to get, Randy, is punched in the damn face.
Yeah, I mean, nobody wants to get punched in the face.
Anymore.
Andy, it hurts.
I've been punched in the face. I got punched, you know. My punch in the face days are over, okay?
Yeah.
I got kids.
I'm with you, though. I'm too grown to be, and I'm too grown to be punching people, period. I ain't got time for that, man. I got these brittle hands that you never know. Now, they ain't going to say I ain't no punk about mine now. And if I got to pull up my bootstraps and get dusty, we can do that. But I prefer not to. You know, I'm more of a conflict resolutionary. You know, I'm like, okay. Now, we can fight, but the decision
but prefer
is
to.
Prefer not to, but I mean, if we got to go, all right, man, come on. I've been watching Cobra Kai, and it brings back strike first, strike hard. I always say, I don't know how good my damn jaw is.
Well, for Andy, I don't even think it's just being punched in the face. It's getting bad tweets. I mean, you don't want bad mentions.
Yeah, I don't want any of that. I don't want the smoke from any direction if I don't need it. Now, sometimes you invite it, and that's part of being a voter for some of these Hall of Fames and stuff. Like, that's an honor. You worked really hard to become a writer and get to a status where you get to vote on things like that. That's really cool.
Whatever.
But, you know, share that information with
you. Just because you got good punctuation don't mean you should get a damn vote.
I mean, that's part of it.
Yeah.
You got
because you know how to use a semicolon. Yeah,
you know,
just
I don't know
when to put a semicolon somewhere.
I don't know how to use a semicolon.
Oh, I don't think I've ever used a damn semicolon.
Sometimes I just guess and substitute it for a comma to try to be fancy, but I don't know. It's a shot in the dark.
Yeah. Isn't it like separating like two sentences that are really one?
I know what it's for. I just don't know when to use it.
because I use it sometimes when I write the articles on the website, thinking that, oh, I'm a legitimate journalist. And sometimes I put in a semicolon, thinking that I think it's used here, but I really don't know either.
I don't know how to use a colon. Sometimes I'll, again, if I ever use a semicolon or a colon in anything that I've written, then it's a guess. Like I was feeling fancy, and I gave it a shot. I was like, here it goes. Today is going to be a colon day.
If I use a semicolon on a paper, they automatically assume I cheated.
Yeah, they know you cheated. That's plagiarism.
Yeah, they know I cheated. They know that. They know I ain't write that damn paper.
That's guaranteed plagiarism. If Randy uses a semicolon, he copy and pasted that semicolon.
Oh, I copied the hell out. I copy and pasted it. I don't know a lot about computers and all that stuff, Andy, but one thing I know how to do is copy and paste.
Control C, Control V. There you go.
Hell yeah. All you gotta do is mix it up a little bit. Change the paragraphs a little bit around. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
Harder these days.
Change the names. Make the font a little bit bigger. Maybe get some stuff wrong on purpose. You can't get the same grade as the person you cheated off of. You didn't do any work. It's okay to get B-. Thank you, Wendy. We'll come back on a Happy Hour Friday brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey, the most important audio in the world. Coming up to kick off the noon hour, Jarvis Davis joins us at 12:20. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.